Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limone.
For the word today? Come on, let's jump into the word. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles. Actually, we'll put it on the screen there for you. We're going to start in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. We've been in a series called A Different Spirit, and I'm real reluctant to call it a series because when you hear that, sometimes we hear series and we miss that I'm not just preaching to you information, I'm trying to give you revelation. And see, when we get into a series mode, sometimes we're excited about it, and then next month we want to go on to the next thing and the next thing. And many times we don't carry over the messages or the revelation like we're supposed to. And so I'm not really just speaking to you about a series as much as I'm trying to get a prophetic word in your spirit. And the word is this: you must have a different spirit to possess the promises that God has for you. We've been talking about that. We went through a few other things, and we looked at the scenario of the children of Israel in the book of Numbers, where God delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. He took them from the place of being slaves to Pharaoh, and they were living lives of slavery, just like you and I. We used to be slaves to sin, used to be slaves to alcohol, addiction, pornography, sex, illicit living. We used to be slaves to all that stuff. But then Jesus sets us free. But I need to tell you something today. Jesus didn't just set you free and put you in a blue chair in a church. No, he sets you free because he has a promised land for you and your children and your children's children. He didn't just take you out of slavery to be free. He took you out of slavery to give you a promise. But as we read in the book of Numbers, the children of Israel got comfortable in the wilderness. And when it came time for them to possess their promise, they literally told God the Father, "We're good. We're okay. We're going to stay right here in this wilderness." Moses sends 12 spies into the land. And these 12 spies weren't just 12 scrubs. No, the Bible says they were leaders of every single tribe. They were the cream of the crop. They were the ones that were doing everything right. And here's my message to you today. You could be doing everything right and still not have a different spirit. You could be in church, serving, giving, checking all the boxes, but still be so doggone comfortable you don't want to move further into the promised land. And church, this is where the majority of Christians in America are. We are comfortable in the wilderness. But I don't want to be Wilderness Christian Center. I want to be a church full of people that want to possess the promise of God for their life. Because see, the problem is what begins to happen when we get comfortable. Not only do we pay a price for missing out on what God has for us, but our children and our children's children pay the price. And so we looked at what it was that caused 10 people to not want to go into the promised land, but there were two people that the Bible said had a different spirit, and that was Joshua and Caleb. And the Bible says that these two guys were the only ones that left Egypt, survived the wilderness, and went on to possess their promises. And these are our examples in the Bible. This is who we want to be like. This is why people today are still naming their kids Joshua and Caleb. Do we have any Joshuas in the house today? Do we have any Calebs here? But you know one, right? See, we name our kids after those two. We don't name our kids after the 10 losers, the 10 comfortable people. And so what I'm trying to do today is I'm trying to tell you, if we're going to be like Joshua and Caleb and possess the promised land for you and your family, you must develop a different spirit. And so the first thing we looked at that a different spirit consists of, and you can go back and listen to these messages on the podcast. The first thing we saw that it takes to have a different spirit is you must be a person of praise. You got to be a praiser. You got to be somebody that's thankful. You got to be somebody that's not afraid to look a little foolish. You got to be somebody that'll put your pride down and lift your hands, open your mouth, sing a song, shout unto the Lord, even do a little dance because he's been so good to me. He deserves my praise. He's been too good for me to just stand in church like this while the praisers are praising. And understand this. I understand that this is your first time at church or second time or third time coming to church, and you're just like, I kind of don't get it yet. Yeah, stand there. But some of y'all have been coming to church 5, 6, 7, 8 years, and you still come to the house of God giving God nothing because you're too proud to open your mouth. You're too proud to lift your hands. You're too comfortable to give him a praise. You'll never have a different spirit unless you become a praiser. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Second thing we looked at, if you're going to have a different spirit, is you've got to be a generous person. You've got to be a person of generosity. You can't be stingy and have a different spirit. You can't be stingy and have a different spirit. See, a lot of Christians are stingy. Do you know what stinginess teaches and shows? Stinginess shows you don't trust God. You trust money. You don't trust God. You trust money. That's why you don't give. Because you think, if I give this, how are my bills going to get paid? Let me tell you how your bills are going to get paid. Your God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And you also have to learn how to manage your money. I didn't get as many shouts on that one, but y'all know it's true. Y'all know it's true. Got a Starbucks addiction. $7 a day. $10 a day. Thank you for your honesty, my brother. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we don't give to the house of God. Folks, that's the definition of stingy. And I'm not even talking only about giving to the house of God. Give to people around you. It's the last time you did somebody that you call a friend. Why did every time you go out with somebody, you let them pay the bill? Y'all getting in your mind. So-and-so needs to hear this. So-and-so needs to hear this. It's the truth. Generosity is a mark of a person with a different spirit. And the thing that I want to talk to you about today is the third thing. The third thing that gives you a different spirit is this. You must be a person of the Spirit. A person of the Spirit. Let's look at Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. In the Message Bible, it says this. My response, Paul says, is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all of heaven and earth. And I ask him, listen to this. To strengthen you by his Spirit. Not by a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus. See, this ain't a solo sport. It's a team sport. Don't listen to the devil when he tells you, well, I don't go to church, but I pray at home. It's not enough. It's not enough. This demonic doctrine of devils that says, I could serve Jesus, I don't need to go to church. That comes from the pit of hell. Read your Bible. Being a Christian is about being in community with brothers and sisters. And the church said, amen. Let's keep reading. And as I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, and live full lives. And here it is, full in the fullness of God. See, the desire of one of our church forefathers, the Apostle Paul, was that you and I would be strengthened in our spirit so that we can live full lives in the fullness of God. That, my friends, is the will of the Father. And you cannot live full lives unless you have a full spirit. And this, my brothers and sisters, is what is wrong with the church in America today. We have taken our emphasis off of the things of the spirit, and we put it on everything else. But I'm here to tell you, this church is going to produce disciples of a different spirit. A spirit that says, I want it all. Brand new socks and drawers. No, sorry. Flashback right there. Flashback. I want it all. I want everything that God has purchased for me. Everything that Jesus died on the cross to give me, I want it. And I want it for my kids. Can I get an amen on that? And I want it for my kids' kids. Because somebody in here has got to get tired of picking up your kids and taking them to court. Somebody in here has got to get tired of loved ones calling you for bail money. Somebody in here has got to get tired of going to baby showers for 16, 17, 18-year-old girls that aren't married. Oh, you don't want to hear about this today, huh? See, because I want more for my kids. I want more for my grandbabies. I want more for my cousins and family members, and I want more for you. But what I want for you doesn't matter. It's about what you want. And the problem with many Christians is we're cool. We're comfortable. We're all right. We're complacent. We're good. God, you meet all my needs. Now, let's remember what the wilderness was. The wilderness was just when God was doing everything for you and meeting all your needs. And I've just described where each one of you are in here today. And you like it. And it's comfortable. But it's that comfort that will keep you from the promises of God. I've come today to shake you out of your comfort zone. See, this is not Comfort Christian Center. That's a few blocks down the road, okay? You know what Comfort Christian Center is? Comfort Christian Center is the church that is designed for you. But when I read the New Testament, church is not about me and it's not about you. It's about him. Now we're losing this in America. I see you, Dell. Congratulations on your, come on, give it up for my man Dell and his beautiful, stand up guys, stand up. Got engaged yesterday. Praise God. We rejoice with you, bro. I saw you in the corner of my eye there. Listen, we don't exist for us. We exist for him. The church is not about us. It's for him. But guess what has happened in the last 20 years? The movement of church growth has changed the minds of Christians in America. And the deception is this. Church is about you. And so every pastor is designing their church to attract you and make it about you, but not this pastor. And I'm going to tell you why. I got a few claps on that. That's cool, though. That's cool. Y'all don't get it. That's cool. That's all right. Let me tell you why I'm not. Because it's not my church. Let me give you another reason why I'm not. Because I read the Bible. Let me tell you the third reason I'm not. I love you too much. I love you too much. I love you too much to just make you comfortable. So guess what? You're good. You may not come back, but you need to hear this today. This church is not here to make you comfortable. That's why I always take time in my messages to talk a little bit about the tithe and about giving. You want to know why? Because it makes you a little uncomfortable. But it only makes people uncomfortable that aren't doing it. The rest of us are cool. We like, go ahead, Pastor. I know it. I'm living in it. Go ahead. But for some of us that aren't doing it, it's uncomfortable. Listen, I don't want to be Comfort Christian Center, where you come to church, the messages are all comfortable messages, more like TED Talks. The services are over in an hour. The worship is almost non-existence of praise. Nobody's shouting, nobody's dancing, nobody's jumping, nobody's moving, because those things are uncomfortable. So we're going to make our praise services smaller, shorter. We're not going to talk about the offering because people don't like that. We're going to go through everything, and we're going to make sure that when you come to church, it is comfortable for you. Now, listen, I wish I could do that, but what kind of shepherd would I be not giving you the truth just because I want a packed church, just because I want to get a mega church going, and we want all these people. Man, what good is a crowd? Listen to what Jesus did when he got a mega church. Jesus saw that his church got up to about 4,000 people, and he gets up on a Sunday, and he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot be my disciple. That's an uncomfortable message. Guess what happened that day? 4,000 people left him. Now, I've thought about this. I've looked at this. Sky, there was a better way he could have preached that message. There was a nicer way he could have went around that. But you know what Jesus was after? Making people uncomfortable. And so he preached the most uncomfortable message he could have preached. And because people didn't want to leave their comfort zone or stick around long enough to find out that he wasn't talking about cannibalism, they never came back to that church ever again. But he looked at the 12 guys and he said, y'all want to go too? Come on, Jesus was gangster. While they was patting themselves, well, we still hear you. He said, you could go too. And they said this, where are we going to go? Because you're the one that has the words of life. See, what that means is they said, where are we going to go? Even though we're uncomfortable with what you're teaching and what you're preaching, we know you're the Son of God and you are the Lord. We will not allow comfort to move us out of being in your presence. I wish more believers would get a hold of that. It's not about being comfortable. It's about having a strong spirit. Now look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. If you're going to have a different spirit, you got to be a person of the spirit. Proverbs 18, 14 says this, a healthy spirit conquers adversity. But what can you do when the spirit is crushed? Some of you need to highlight that in your Bible. A healthy spirit conquers adversity. You know what that means? If you have a strong spirit, you could get through anything. You can get through anything. But most Christians have an itty bitty spirit, and they can't get through nothing. You get offended by somebody in the church, you're out of here. The moment you have any adversity, I'm gone. You know why? It's because you have a teeny tiny spirit. Now, why do you have a teeny tiny spirit? You have a teeny tiny spirit because you don't feed it enough. The average Christian doesn't pray, doesn't read their word every day, and only gets fed when they come to church. take it even further. When they did polls in America, the average Christian in America only goes to church once every 6 weeks. Once every 6 weeks. But yet your flesh you feed every day. 3 times a day. Come on, 5 times a day, some of us. 6 or 7, I don't know. We can keep going. We feed our flesh every day. We feed our spirit once a week. And we wonder why our spirit is teeny tiny. Average Christian goes to church once every 6 weeks. Guys, let's do the math. What would happen if you went to the gym one day every 6 weeks? Come on, say it with me. Nothing. What happens when you go to church once every 6 weeks? Nothing. Do the math. The average Christian has a small spirit, and therefore, the average Christian cannot go through or conquer adversity. Tell your neighbor, you better grow your spirit. Because here's the problem. Adversity's coming for you. It's coming. Dale just got married. I pray his fiance has a big spirit. Amen. Because she's going to need to conquer some adversity. Dale's like, what about me? You too, Dale. You better have a good... I'm sure she ain't perfect either. I get it. But listen, here's my point. So many divorces happen because somebody can't handle adversity. Oh, he's mean to me. He's this. He's that. I'm going to leave him. What? You prayed for that fool. Remember that? You cried for a man. You cried for somebody that would say, marry me. You wanted him. And now because there's adversity, you want to leave him because he's not perfect? Because his feet smell a little bit? Because he doesn't hang his calzones up and he gets out the shower? You ain't going to make it. And I believe a lot of marriages end because somebody can't handle adversity. And you want to know why? Because it's your spirit that carries you through adversity. And you ain't going to make it in your marriage because you got an itty-bitty teeny spirit. I don't know what some of y'all were thinking. I saw you over there. Spirit, okay? Spirit. Some of y'all took it to the flesh, but it was teeny spirit is what I was saying. Because it's your spirit that carries you through things. It's your spirit. You better build your spirit up. Talking about, I don't want to be married to her no more. Why? Because she does this. Now see, what's happening is you're coming into adversity. And if you had a strong spirit, you'd be able to go through it. But because you don't pray, because you think this is a game, because you just think it's about going to church, you got a small spirit, and you're going to leave a good thing, thinking that you can find another one. But in the words of Lou Rawls, come on, somebody. You'll never find another love like this. Come on, somebody. She's mean and get some counseling, fool. I'm done. I just can't do it. You got a strong spirit. A strong spirit will get you through some stuff. I don't want to go to this church no more. You know, because, you know, Pastor Sergio told me to get yourself a strong spirit. Well, the usher got mad at me and they said this and they said I was late and I don't want to get a strong spirit. And work stuff out. Are you tracking with me today? I'm trying to save somebody's marriage. I'm trying to save somebody's career. Because a lot of the younger cats, this is how they think. They get a job. How's your job? Man, I don't like it. I know. That's why they pay you to be there. They pay you to be there Because of course you would rather be somewhere else. Yeah, but my boss is a jerk. My coworkers are weird. I don't like this. I don't like that. And so you're going to quit a good job because you can't handle adversity. Get yourself a big spirit. And your big spirit will get you up every day and be like, I can handle this. I can handle this boss. I can handle these coworkers. And I'm going to get me a bag because God gave me this job. And I'm not leaving it for some stupid person because I'm uncomfortable. Some of y'all in this room left good jobs because you couldn't handle it. Listen, the nature of the word job, it's going to be hard. That's why they have to pay you to be there. If it was something you love, you'd do for free. But it's ugly. It's hard. It's difficult. You need a strong spirit to get you through it because the thing you do like about it is the pay. And you need that pay to take care of your family. Amen? So you got to, I'm trying to put it to you in practical terms. Some of you are taking God way too lightly. And you think you got it. And you think you ain't got to build your spirit. But I'm telling you, you may be married today, but there's no guarantee you'll be married tomorrow if you can't go through adversity. You may have a job and a career today, but how many people leave a good place, a good job, a good career, because they can't handle the circumstances? The Bible is telling you a healthy spirit conquers adversity. So here's my point. You got to start paying attention to your spirit. You got to start understanding what it is that builds your spirit up. You need to pray every day. You feed your flesh, feed your spirit. You need to spend time in His Word. You feed your flesh, feed your spirit. Come on, there's all sorts of things on the Bible app today. If you haven't downloaded the Bible app on your phone, take off some of those crazy apps you got on there and download the Bible app right now. Can I get an amen on that? Because it don't work no more. Well, Pastor, I just don't know where to read. Man, that Bible app has little devotionals, little subjects, little things to read about this, that, and the third. You can get on there and you could be a gorilla and find out how to read the Word. Animals can get on that app and read the Word. So you can do it. Amen? Somebody's in here. Animals? They got it for animals? I'm just joking, y'all. I'm just joking. I felt a spirit of confusion in the back there. Amen. So we've got to pay attention to our spirit. And I'm just telling you, you can't come to church every 6 weeks, every 5 weeks, shoot, every once a month for that matter, and expect a result. You got to be committed to the house of God. You got to be committed to your community. You got to be committed to being amongst the saints if you're going to get a strong spirit, because it's a strong spirit that's going to carry you through whatever you've got to go through. Amen? Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 through 31. I got 10 minutes here for you. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. I want to read this to you in the New King James Version. It says this, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called." That's always a good humbling scripture for me. Whenever I start patting on myself on the back and start thinking, oh, I'm something, the Lord sends me to the nations, and you know, we've done this, I've been in ministry now 30 some odd years, and then I read this scripture and the Bible tells me, hey, God don't call the wise. There ain't many mighty, not many noble. Look what he says here. "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise." That always puts me in my place. I always get to say, well, okay, God, you got me there. There are plenty more people that are smarter than me, wiser than me. And while you're laughing at me, he's talking about you too. See, because we make excuses for why we don't serve God the way we need to. Well, I'm not this, I'm not that. You don't need to be. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Now look what he says. "And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, as it is written, he who glorifies, let him glory in the Lord. You know what it's saying here? That the Bible has chosen foolish things of the world to overcome the world. Now, guys, that is a spiritual premise that you must learn. To the world, the fact that we come to church every week is foolish. Many of them will even come, what's this church thing about? Some of y'all came in here today with somebody. Man, what's this church thing about? And you look at it and you're going to go, well, this ain't nothing. They just sitting here listening to this Mexican dude talk. That's all this is up here. What is this? See, it's foolish to the world. But yet, it is what God has chosen to change all of our lives. Can I get an amen? Amen. Woo, I can't tell you how many times my life has been changed in a church service. Listening to preaching. Now, I know the world don't get it. This is why your family thinks you're crazy because you go to church now. And they're just like, you going to church again? Dude, you one of them hallelujah boys. You this, that. And they can't see it. It's foolish to them. And then you tell them, yeah, man, I'm just praying about giving to the heart for the house. And then they go, you giving your money to the church? And they think, that's foolish. Let me tell you what's foolish. Buying drinks for everybody in the bar. That's foolish. Spending all that money on weed every day. That's foolish. That car your drug dealer is driving around in, you paid for that. But let me get a car and everybody be mad at me. But you had no problem buying your weed dealer a brand new Bentley or whatever. Can I tell you something? That's foolish. But see, to the world, we're foolish because we serve God. We give to God our time, our talent, our treasure. And what the Bible is trying to tell us something here is that the premise in the spirit is this. We've got to be willing to do some foolish things, not foolish to the kingdom, but foolish to the world. So the world comes into our praise service and they see Dr. Sky up here in the group and everybody's singing. The world comes in and be like, man, what this? That's how they say it. What this? What's this? Man, I ain't raising my hand. I ain't doing it because it's foolishness. But it's the very things that are foolish that bring the power of God when I throw up my hands and I sing hallelujah and I dance. See, they don't get it. It looks foolish. It don't matter what they think. It matters what is written. Can I get an amen on that? Look at 1 Corinthians 1, 21 through 23. It says this, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It's foolish to the Jews who seek for a sign from heaven, and it's foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. Once again, the world thinks we're foolish, but it's the foolish things that God has chosen. That's a spiritual premise, y'all. God uses foolish things. This is why prayer in the Bible is always looked at as something foolish. Praise in the Bible was looked at something foolish. We talked about a couple weeks ago how David, when the presence of God was being brought back through the covenant, through the Ark of the Covenant, King David couldn't contain himself. He was so happy that the presence of God came. The Bible says he threw off his kingly robes. He threw off his Gucci. Come on, somebody. He kicked off his Louis Vuitton slippers. And the Bible says he went and danced before the presence of God. And his wife was sitting up in the window looking at him. And when he came home that day, she said this, you have made a fool of our family. You have made a fool of Israel with the king dancing like that. See, to her, it was foolish. But David said this, you ain't seen nothing yet. You thought I was dancing a jig today. Wait till you see me tomorrow. I'm going to be too legit to quit. Another 90s reference. But see, praise was foolish. It was foolish. Why is praise foolish? Praise, you can't praise God and be proud. Praise is literally causing your flesh to die to give God glory. Somebody needs to write that down. Praise is allowing your flesh to die to give God glory. Prayer is also viewed as foolish in the Bible. 1 Samuel 1, 9 through 17, you can just read it on your own. It's the story of Hannah. This woman wanted a child. She was barren. And all her sisters, all her friends and family, they were all having babies. Now, in the Bible, when women were barren, it was a very painful thing. It's a very shameful thing. And so here she was. She would go to the temple every day, the Bible says. And she would pray so hard that the Bible says the priest looked at her and they thought she was drunk. And so Eli, the priest, one day in all his religious tradition, went and confronted her. And he said, "Lady, you cannot come to the house of God all drunk, all loaded like you are." And Hannah looked at him and she said, "I am not drunk. I am seeking God to give me a son." And the Bible says that the reason the priest thought she was drunk is because when she was moving her mouth, language wasn't coming out. Now, this is an amazing scripture because, see, in the Acts chapter 2, the same thing was said about the saints in the upper room. When the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost and all the 120 people came out of the room, the Bible says they went out onto the streets and everybody thought they were drunk. And then Peter shook it off and said, wait a minute, because he heard them talking. He said, these guys aren't drunk. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophets of old. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he went on to preach and thousands got saved that day. But it's interesting. In the Old Testament, when Hannah prayed for that son, she moved her mouth. The priest thought she was drunk because she wasn't speaking a language. Could it be she tapped into a realm of the Spirit where she was praying in other tongues? Because I'll tell you what happened to her prayers. God answered her prayers. And she gave birth to a son. And that son's name was Samuel. And Samuel went on to be a prophet in the nation of Israel. The very same prophet that anointed King David, king of Israel. The same prophet that started the royal lineage of Jesus Christ himself. I'm telling you, folks, we can't let the world or the world's thinking influence us. We have to be people of the Spirit. We've got to be not afraid to look foolish. We've got to stop neglecting our spirit. I believe there are three things that are under attack in the Church of America today. And these things are under attack because they carry power. And what is attacking these things? Our love for comfort. And these three things are this: praise, the tithe, and other tongues. These are things that we're seeing Satan try to remove from the Church of Jesus Christ. And these are things that we need. These are things that you need to have a different spirit. The Bible tells us in the book of Jude 1:20, to build yourself up praying in the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 tells you that when you pray in other tongues, you are praying in the very will of God for your life. See, to have a different spirit, we can't walk around consumed by the soul, consumed by feelings. We got to be people of the Spirit. So here's what I want you to remember today. Number one, feed your spirit every day. Number two, get to church. If you only come every now and again, ain't nothing going to happen. It's the same thing of going to the gym every now and again. Some of y'all know what that's like because you got a membership and you go to the gym every now and again and nothing changes. Oh, can I miss this? I got to hurt you to help you today. Come on. Church is the same way. But number three, we got to be people of the Spirit, which means this, we got to be people of the Word. 19 years old, I made a decision. God, I want it all. I want everything that you purchased on that cross for me to have. What do you want me to do with my life? I want it all. I want to live my best life in you. And I made a decision. God, if I read it in the Word, I'll do it. And I began to read in the Word, to tithe. Bam, no problem. My first check, McDonald's, Stockton Boulevard. I was working there. Went to church that Sunday. Broke God off and was happy to do it. I said, God, what else you got for me? Then I went to church and I heard a man preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And how in the book of Acts chapter 2, the presence of God fell. And as the Holy Spirit was given to all the saints, they began to speak in other tongues. And I sat there and I said, ooh, I want that. I didn't sit there and go, well, I don't know if I'm ready for that. No, because I had already decided, I want everything that you have for me. And I went up to that altar and that pastor laid hands on me. And I began to pray in other tongues, and I never stopped from that day forward. Every day I pray in tongues. Why? Because I also read in the Bible where the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, beloved, I pray in tongues more than you all. Now, this is the same guy that also told me in the Bible that he said, follow me as I follow Christ. I said, okay, challenge accepted. So when I read that he prayed in tongues more than anybody in the early church, I said, I'm going to do the same thing. And whether I feel like it or not, every day I make the decision, I'm going to spend time in God's presence. Kita rabasata, kota rabasita. And then you hear that voice, but that's weird. And that's when the scriptures shout out to me, yes, but it's God using the foolish things to confound the wise. It's the foolish things that make me strong. And since 19 years old, that's how I've been praying. 33 years, I've been walking with God every day. At some part of the day, you're going to be around me and you're going to hear, Kita raba sakata tebo chata. Sometime, it's just going to come out. I just be walking under my breath. I might be in Walmart. I pray pretty loud in Walmart because I get scared in there. Kita raba sata. Because I decided long ago, y'all, if it's in the Word, I want it. If God wants me to have it, I want it. Because I learned a long time ago, it's nobody else's responsibility for me to build up my spirit, but mine. A strong, healthy spirit will get you through adversity. A strong, healthy spirit will keep you married. A strong, healthy spirit will keep you making the money you're making at a job that you hate. Come on, somebody. A strong, healthy spirit can keep you planted in the house of God instead of a wounded, weak spirit that is offended at everything, that is mad at everybody. You can't be corrected. You can't be spoken into. And so God planted you here, but you're going to go to this church down the street. And now you're out of place. And now you'll see. Did you know when you unplant a plant out of the ground and you take it out of the soil that it was planted in and you move it into another receptacle or planter? People that do gardening will tell you this. It takes 3 years for a plant that's been repotted to catch up to its growth. You know what that means? When you keep unplanting and planting here, you are suspending your growth. But when you go where God has planted you and you stick it out and you work things through and you let God be the one that moves you on when he does, because he does move people on. Some of you were planted here, you left another place. Some people left here and are planted somewhere else. God definitely does that. But my point is this, it's a strong spirit that gives you the ability to hear from God.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.